Dialogue Options Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Dialogue Options Podcast. I'm your host, Karen Morrison, and as always, I am joined by my good friend and co-host, Joel McDonald. How are you doing?
I'm pretty tired, I'm not going to lie, but I'm good.
Who isn't tired in this day and age,
Joel? I know. I did get back, like, very early this morning from a day trip
yesterday. You did go to the footy.
I went to the footy last night.
I'm sure Jesse was proud.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, he did comment on my tweet that I posted. Yeah, that was great. I had a great time. Went to Geelong, saw the Geelong v Saints match. We were sitting in the middle of the St Kilda, like the opposition stands, basically. So that was
brutal.
Interesting.
That reminds me of like the one time I went to a football with a car full of Richmond supporters.
Yes.
That wasn't fun.
No. It's yeah, but it was a lot of fun. Like I went with my dad and my sister. We went on a bus ride down there and back. But I got back at like 2 o'clock this morning.
I just want to clarify, it's not because I hate Richmond though, it's because I'm a Hawthorn supporter.
Yeah.
And it was a Hawthorn versus Richmond match. I really wanted to get in there and just say that real quickly. And to those outside of Australia who are like, what are they talking about? Don't worry about it.
Or better yet, go listen to The Falcon.
I mean, if you're curious, then listen to The Falcon. Don't listen to us talk about it.
No.
That's a bad idea.
No, I enjoyed it. Like I've kind of gone 0 to 100 with everything. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of into this now. So, yeah, I'm like looking at like memberships and.
Well, good luck putting it into schedule.
Yeah, well, look, my aim is at the least to watch, because my team is the Geelong Cats. So I'm aiming to watch like at least Geelong's game each week. So that's, you know, it's a couple of hours. I can do that. I can also have it on the background if I'm doing something else.
There you go.
Yeah.
Chuck it on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Use your TV for a video game or something.
Yeah. But I'm kind of enjoying getting away. But that's how I am at the moment. I'm a little scatterbrained and a little tired, but hey, I'm doing it. We're doing it. So how about you, Karen? How are you feeling?
Look, I'm much better than I was the last time I recorded.
Excellent.
Because of whatever weird thing had my head just blocked up like nothing else. Like, I wasn't even sick. It was just annoying.
Yeah.
It sucked. Worst. But I'm feeling much better now. Maybe that was also just the healing properties of playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Mm.
Essentially non-stop for 2 weeks.
Yep.
I did that week off work where I just, like, laser focus. Like, okay, daytime hours are just Rebirth hours now. And we'll have some dinner. You know, we'll eat food because we've got to put food in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 5 hours are back to being Rebirth hours. So maybe that healed me. I don't know. That game is pretty magical, so I wouldn't be surprised if it had some like hidden healing properties. But apart from that, Joel, I've been good. Not a lot going on because, like I said, week off, Rebirth, and now I'm back at work. So now I'm catching up there, which sucks.
Yeah, super.
Nothing worse than the crushing reality of returning to work after the beautiful freedom.
Yep.
Of not having to think about it, but sadly,
I had one day off last week, and I had it like an extra. Well, technically two, because you know I had it. Long weekend that was a public holiday, but I took a Friday off to go away on holiday as well, and like that was great, but then I was like,
yeah, it happens every time.
Yeah,
but sadly we must do it because money.
Yeah,
I do like money.
Yeah, I like the like the things I can do with money.
I like the fun things I can do with money. That's a good point.
Yeah the fun things I can
the
do
responsible
with money.
Things
Oh, they suck.
Get fucked.
Yeah, they're horrible. They need to get in the bin. Into the bin with you.
Or stop being so expensive, either.
Yeah. Why not both?
Well, because if it was in the bin, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, it would still be there, though.
Do you think about your rubbish often?
I mean, if it's calling out to me.
Okay, fair enough.
Trying to sneak
like,
out. And
it's
like
sending you, like, reminder, bit like exactly. Letters, yeah. Bills in the mail. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Shouting me, just being like, pay me! Yeah. But, yeah. That's the energy I'm bringing to this episode, Karen.
I expect nothing less.
Excellent.
Have you been up to anything else? But I'm guessing probably not, really.
Not really. I watched Poor Things last week.
Nice.
After the Oscars. The day of the Oscars. That night, I sort of sat down and I was like, it's on Disney Plus. And I was like, how long is it? It was like a couple of hours. I was like, or maybe I'll just start watching it, and then I'll watch the whole thing. And it's real good. I like it. I could totally see the people that may not like it. Why? I'm like, yeah, fair call. It's because it's fucking weird. But it's great. And Emma Stone absolutely deserves that Oscar. So, not that I saw many, if any, of the other nominees, but...
All I care about is that Godzilla got its due.
Yeah, it did.
Deserved more nods, but congrats on winning the one award you were up for.
Yep. And also, like, I don't know, there was a whole bunch of stuff that was pretty fun at the Oscars that was cool, like... The John Cena, like, streaking part was pretty funny.
Boy
like,
and the Heron winning.
Yes, that was really awesome as well. What Was I Made For? Winning Best Song.
I haven't watched it yet, but the Just Ken performance looked like it was a lot of fun.
You got to do yourself a favor. It's like 4.5 minutes of just, like, Ryan Gosling living his absolute best life.
Aren't the other Kens there as well?
Yeah, they are. And it's great. Yeah.
Like it's, I saw it go past my feed and I was like, I will make time to watch this at some point.
I highly recommend it. I've watched it a couple of times.
It's a fun song from a great movie.
Yeah. And like, he's an absolute gem, that man. So, but yeah, that's about all I've done. Poor Things. 2 thumbs up from me.
That's
good stuff.
Good.
Yeah. What about you?
Said, I've been cashing up on work and then after work has been Rebirth time. So
fair call.
Unfortunately, I've strictly been in video game mode these past 2 weeks, but it has resulted in me finishing Rebirth.
Hey!
So, I'm bulletproof as far as spoilers go.
Yeah, fair.
Nothing cool. to be scared of. I can listen to the soundtrack at will, look at clips and look at photos and read articles and not be worried. Yep. And that's all I really wanted because it was my number one fear.
Yeah,
no, so cool. I guess without further delay, let's move straight into the quest log.
Mission completed.
Quest log.
So the quest log is, of course, our What We've Been Playing segment, and as I'm sure you'll no doubt have an idea of, it's going to be largely related to Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I don't know about you, Joel, but I haven't been playing anything else. Is there anything else before? Like, again, I will stress this will be spoiler-free. We're not going in spoilers because this game is massive, and I only finished it because I had that week off. Otherwise, yeah. I would still be in probably halfway through this massive game.
In the Mithril Mines, so to speak.
Instead, I just left the Mithril Mines on playthrough number 2, baby. Hey. Hard mode is scary.
I watched you do it because I'd already played that part. So, I tooled around a little bit with Helldivers 2. I played some the other night and the game is just great. It's so good. And then, like...
I am looking forward to coming back to it.
Yeah. Even, like, the surrounding stuff with Helldivers 2, too. Like, their marketing and how their meta storytelling that they're doing is so good.
I find it so funny because, like, for the last... may as well say decade, but less than a decade, technically, we've had all these games as a service game sort of chasing the Destiny model.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine now that it's like, now we've got to do that?
Yep.
We've got to, oh God.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
They threaded the needle perfectly. We spoke about it before.
Yeah, like, you can listen to our previous episode where we just like gush over Helldivers 2.
Yeah.
And how Arrowhead have just like, they've caught lightning in a bottle. Yep. Like, this is insane. How well this game is doing. I think it's like 8 million copies sold, maybe, according to this Eurogamer article. Like, the game is just doing so goddamn well.
It's just absolutely crushing. And, like, I'm loving the stuff that they're doing with the storytelling at the moment, like, where, like, the current big thing at the moment is, like, raising these, protecting these, like, terminated control system... Like
the pumping pesticide into the atmosphere.
Yeah, and they're like, "Oh, it's just gonna take it." Like Super Earth's just like it's just gonna take care of the bugs, and then slowly more and more bits and pieces of information come out, and it's like maybe it might be wiping out like existence of other lives that aren't the bugs on those planets,
and possibly mutating the bugs.
Yeah, like
and then there's the current up and coming ones, which was like a player being spotted on like Cyberstan, a planet that's already liberated. I was like, you don't need to even worry about touching it. And there was a player on there doing God knows what. Blue beams of light shooting down from the sky. Yeah, so clearly, like, I've been off in Rebirth corner, but, like, I haven't been keeping tabs on the Helldivers side of things. And I'll be honest, I have had a bit of FOMO that I'm missing out on being there as these events are happening. But that is just something that, as a person who's played their fair share of live living games, you just get used to it.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it is still fun to, like... I enjoy being a part of the conversation just by having played the game and understanding the basics and then still seeing this all unfold on like social media and news articles and stuff. So that's been really fun. And yeah, I can't wait to get back into a little bit more of it as well.
I'm keen. Like, I logged in last night to tag on my free war bonds that everyone else had earned for me during the operations. Shout out to those superheroes, because I was busy.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Democracy. I'm coming back, I promise.
It's, yeah, I love, like, the thing that keeps springing up in my mind every time I see, like, new articles about, like, the potential of what they're doing with the story. It's just that shot of David Mitchell from one of the sketches from, like, that Mitchell and Webb look, just being like, are we the bad guys? Like, and it's like,
the answer is yes.
Absolutely we are. But it's
nothing more democratic than just forcefully spreading democracy, right?
Yeah, and like, forcefully spreading democracy by potentially creating the problem in the first place for them to do it. It's wild. It's wild shit, the stuff that they're saying with this game, and the conversation surrounding it. But yeah, Helldivers 2 is really great. Bellatro is really great. I downloaded the Princess Peach Showtime demo. I haven't played it yet, but it's on my Switch. I'm going to play it, I think. But it is interesting to see that, like, apparently is being developed by Good Time, I think.
Nintendo said that you'll find out when you finish the game and see the credits.
Well, people seem to...
Good Time of a Yoshi team, right?
Yeah.
It's been data mined, I think. But yeah. I saw Nintendo actually responded saying, you'll find out when you finish the damn game.
I don't like this new trend of theirs. It's such a weird... So the same thing with
Super Mario... Just tell me who made it, man.
The same thing with Super Mario Wonder when, like... They were like, well...
The
Mario voice actor. And it's like, okay, well, it's fine. But then... Did Nintendo not realize that the internet exists? And that, like, people will just be like, all right, cool.
We'll figure it out.
Or we'll just wait and someone will post it. Like, yeah. Anyway, weird shit. But... No, apart from that, Kyron, what have you been playing?
Well, Joel, I've been playing a little indie video game called Final Fantasy VII Rebirth that I definitely haven't been dreaming about for about the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of come out of nowhere.
Yep.
We talked about it last week briefly.
Yeah.
I'd put a few hours in at that point. Now I've put in over 100. Again, like I said, I'm not going to spoil anything. We'll probably strictly speak early game, just where you're up to, which is, we'll say... I would say, because you're at Upper Junon.
Yeah.
I would say Junon's a pretty fair game. That's like the first four chapters.
Yep.
There's no major, huge, massive story spoilers in there. But no. I think there's still enough to talk about to get an idea of what there is to love about this game.
Yeah.
And like maybe some things that you want to, that could be signposted and be like, I don't know. But yeah, obviously I love it. I finished it. My overall thoughts of the game are, without giving anything away, that it was, I've said it a lot, like, it's a dream come true.
Yeah.
It's every time, every like hour I was playing this game, I would just be sitting there and say out loud, this is a real video game.
Yeah.
That I am playing now, that I gave Square Enix money for. It's real. It's not imagined.
Yeah.
But it's actually like this FF7 story being retold with some changes, with some tweaks in 4K, and it looks fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And the music sounds incredible. And the voice acting is incredible. And the combat is great. And the, this game's so good.
Yeah, it's great. On the flip side, like, I'm very similar, but like, without the I guess emotional attachment and resonance that yourself
game have, broke but... me numerous times. Yeah, no, a lot. There was actually several times where I did cry. This game is beautiful, and the story beats that happened, I fully expected. I was like, I know what's gonna happen here. It's like, we got you anyway. I'm like, yeah, well, because the music and the performances, and it's.
It's funny because like I had a moment like recently where like I met a character and I was like, yeah, cool, this character's here, awesome, this is gonna be fun. And then it wasn't until like an hour later I was like, that's not how this happened. Like I didn't even register. I was like, wait, that's not, because I remember how that happened in the original game, because so I got very upset.
Are you talking about the party member?
Yes.
I think, again, I would say she's fair game because it actually showed that in one of the early trailers.
Yeah.
This is the new way in which you obtain Yuffie. And I guess that's a good place to bounce off where we can talk about... But obviously, again, if you played Remake, you know that this is the story of FF7 with, obviously, expanded. Because I've actually been playing the original as well. Oh, no! What a surprise!
Yep.
And I played a chunk today. I played from just exiting the Mithril Mines up until the Golden Saucer in like 3 hours. I was like, oh yeah, this game is, this, I mean, it's not tiny, but the section that is honestly like, that's probably nearly a third of Rebirth. It's like, yeah, no, I'm so glad they like expanded upon this, because it's great to actually see this as a real world. But yeah, so obviously there are changes, and the new method of getting Yuffie is one of them. Again, I'm calling this fair game because it was in the trailers, but basically she replaces the Priscilla scene in the original where you show up at Lower Junon and there is a sea monster attacking like at the bay. And you saw, but actually it's funny because there was a lot of questions to Square Enix being like, hey, how are you going to do the CPR minigame? Because there is the CPR minigame with Priscilla, which is weird because the mechanics are you press a button to start like, you know, taking air into your lungs, and then you press the button again to, like, obviously, like, breathe it into Priscilla. And I just found, I always find it so funny of Cloud just being like, like, Cloud, just do it. She's dying. Which she's not breathing, Cloud.
The way they deal with that scene
is very funny.
It's very funny. It also kind of makes sense as well. And it builds upon Cloud's character as
well. It does. And also, I just think it's a great way to insert Yuffie into the story because, obviously, if you are living under a rock and you haven't played the original Final Fantasy VII, she's an optional character. So, like, you don't even technically get her at all in the original. And, like, the earliest you can get her is just before Junon. But, again, because I just went past that area, I believe because she only spawns in forests and she's got, like, a 12% chance to appear there. So it's a low chance to get her there.
Yeah.
And again, I know you didn't play it, so I'm not going to say anything about it, but the DLC for Remake with Yuffie is so much fun, and like getting an idea of what they were doing with her character and that had me so psyched to get her so early in Rebirth. As soon as I got to Junon, I'm like, I've got to get Yuffie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was the thing.
And again, you don't get Yuffie there, but at least you introduced to Yuffie.
Yeah. And she's great.
I love her.
Fucking Naruto running around everywhere. And just
the best little materia-stealing ninja in the world.
God, she was... I remember when I met her in the original.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, you fucking...
Especially
what?
If you do her side quest and she literally takes all your materia.
Yeah, I was like, sorry, what?
Sidebar, I do hope they do that. I expect it'll be slightly different, but I would love that to stay in the game for part 3.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I feel safe in saying that because they did confirm before this game comes out, Wutai is a part 3... storyline they're dealing with, not in this game.
Yeah,
which is cool. Fair because this game is already fucking huge.
Well, yeah, I mean that's probably a good as place as many as like the fact that it is a huge world, an open world.
It is,
you would say,
and not a spoiler because again, if you play the original 7, don't be surprised. It does become seamless.
Yeah.
So it starts, the way it starts is so good because it is like essentially large zones, which is great. It lets you, it drops, for example, the grasslands. We sort of introduced how the open world works, where you see what sort of objectives you can complete is great. And then you go through the Mithril Mines, like a story-based chapter through a cavern. You pop out the other side, and basically it's like, okay, this is the next zone. Here's all the new objectives you can do. Story's over there in Junon. Off you go. You can go straight to the story. You can stick around and explore a bit. It's up to you.
Yeah, it's really cool. And if you want to boil it down to its like purest form, it is just like checking boxes. Mm-hmm. But it's still really fun. I really like the Proto Relic quests.
They are really interesting and different. Outstanding.
Yeah,
and they are definitely like. So we talked briefly about things you could maybe say, you know, could use some work. And I would. There are some issues I have with the open world zone objectives, but the Proto Relics are not one of them. They are a highlight in each of the areas you visit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the way they pay off is very good.
Even the little tidbits I'm getting, like that second one, because I finished the second Proto Relic one. That cutscene, I was like,
yep.
That's great. It's really good.
Yep. It does mean that there is an incredible song from the history of Final Fantasy that will finally be, I'll get to hear an FF7 remake-esque version of it, and I can't wait.
So I'm really enjoying those. Yeah. And like the quests themselves are really fun. Like the first one's really like the subject matter of that, and then the second one it has like a really great way of like paying homage to the original in some way.
It's so funny because like again because you didn't play the Yuffie DLC, you messaged me about the Four Condors stuff. I was like, yeah, that was a mini game that you played in the Yuffie DLC.
Yeah,
and you got to like challenge everyone. It was slightly different because you actually got to build your army, like your side. You got to pick what units you put out, but you didn't have the hero units. So
the hero units are really cool. I did get a little frustrated with the Four Condor stuff towards the end.
Look, it's tricky. You really have to, I don't want to say it's not unfair, but like you sort of have to be switched on and aware of what they're going to do.
I feel like the time limit could have been either a little bit more lenient or
no. It's fair to keep the pressure on, I guess. Like,
yeah, which is fair enough, but I feel like there's putting pressure on and it's just been like, that's entirely unfair, in honestly, my opinion. But that's...
My strat was usually just like, all right, what hero units am I taking in? Excellent. What, let's take in a force that benefits them, and I'm just going to spam blue guys to fill up Barrett. He's blue. No, he's green. Nah, Tifa. Yeah. No, Cloud.
Cloud's blue.
And then spam the other color to spam my other unit. And then I'm just going to set him down one pathway and just try to wipe that one out. And once we'll go from there.
Once I figured that out and I'd stopped actually trying to like strategize. And like the one time I'm like, I'm going to engage with this mini game in the way that I feel like it needs me to engage it with. And this is like, no, just fucking throw everything you've got at it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So there was a little bit more strategy in the Yuffie DLC one. But I guess they moved away from that because it was just like, you're going to find this out. This is one mini game of like a billion. This game has so many mini games.
I already know that there's a lot of mini games and I know why as well. Like it's
so many mini games.
Yeah. And I understand why, because it makes sense for this particular place that I'm assuming we're going to
Even outside of that place, like this game, it's so like... One of the biggest problems you have when you probably are playing an open world game is you're like, all right, time to do some side quests. I fucking bet they're fetch quests. God damn it. And it's clear that Square Enix was like, fuck fetch quests. Everything's a mini game quest now.
Which,
let me know when you've done, at Junon, there's a mini game that you do for a side quest down by the bay in a corner. Let me know when you've done it. It may not. It might be a quest you get from the quest board in town.
Oh, okay, I need to go back and check.
When you do that, let me know, and you'll know. You immediately know why, because like you and I, you didn't play as much as me, but you played a game that's prepared you for this.
Okay, cool.
That and you'll know as soon as you start doing it. Okay. You're gonna know.
I will say this too, in terms of the mini games, Queen's Blood, fucking excellent.
Queen's Blood is fun. You can see the the notes they've taken from like Gwent like Marvel Snap and stuff.
It does. It feels like it fits perfectly in between Gwent and Marvel Snap, because I've played a little bit of Gwent and
Gwent is deep. It is super dense,
and I was like, I don't have time to worry about this. Whereas Marvel Snap, you can teach in like 2 minutes and like you get the gist of it. This has a little bit more to it. It does also have a little bit of the like, you've got to try and push forward as quickly as you can, but there are ways around it, and there's a lot of really fun things as well.
The thing that is really good about Queen's Blood is it starts off at a really nice level where you're like, okay, I'm across this. Like, I'm not, if I run into like a card mini game in an RPG or a video game, it's a side quest, I'm like, fucking get out of here.
Yeah, right.
But the way they introduce you to Queen's Blood and the way it sort of steps up as you play through is actually really good.
Mm.
And in the end, I ran a deck similar to my Marvel Snap deck. I was running a filthy destroy deck,
right,
where my entire game plan, which is based on destroying all the cards I put on to buff like one single card, because I've got a card that then deletes that card and makes copies in the top and bottom lanes.
Oh my god.
And it pretty much wins every time.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I do love, I like collecting all the cards as well. They're really fun.
It is really fun.
Happy to have my fat chocobo. Love that thing. So cute.
The card collection is quite big as well. I think there's about 140 cards. I've got about 110 now, so I'm still missing like 30 of them.
I'm waiting for them to do like, hey, here's a physical version of it. Like,
I don't know if I'll do a physical, but they are aware of the feedback on the game, and they were talking about like finding ways to expand it. So I don't know. I'm torn, because like a mobile version would be so good.
Absolutely, 100%.
I'm dreading how expensive it would become.
Yeah, it is Square Enix, isn't it? It is Square Enix when it comes down to it. But yeah, I'm very much enjoying that. Old mate Chatley, he's a little bit chatty this time around.
I will be completely honest, I still don't love Chatley. The reaction I had when they introduced May, the girl one, I'm like, there's two of them.
Yep.
They're multiplying.
There's two of them, and they hate each other.
Hate each other.
No, more specifically, I guess Chadley hates May, and you made her.
Really funny cutscene. I forget where it is in the game, where May's talking, and Chadley just, like, mutes her. It's like, cool. I turned her voice off, so now we can talk. I'm like, All right, Chadley.
It's great. Fair enough. There's that one, and there's the other one where like she comes in and gives like the mission debriefing.
Yeah.
And Chadley comes and goes, well, that's what I was going to say, but I guess you've already said it, so fine. And it just disappears, and I'm like, that's the quietest I've heard you be. But I'm like, every time you pick something up, you pick something up, and say, boop, boop, boop. Like,
I get so sick. I get sick of that fucking device, man.
It's I like the idea. Like
the animation of getting it out is so slow. I mean, you're just like essentially looking at like a GIF of Chadley. You're like, did I have to pull this out to do this?
It's, yeah, I'm like...
It's a small issue, but it is one of my small issues of the open world. But sort of stacks up when you get to 100 plus hours. You'd be like, boop, boop, boop. Yes, Chadley, what is it?
It's like, yeah, you found thanks. You found another untamed life spring.
I know. Oh boy. That's, do you want to scan it? Oh, sure do.
That's why I fucking came here, mate. Yeah,
I saw an owl and I followed it.
Yeah, and then I'm standing right in front of it. He's like, hey, you should scan.
Chadley.
I like the idea of Chadley, and I like the
much of him in this game.
The features that Chadley brings to the table, but man, he needs to shut the fuck up a little bit more. I'm super excited.
If I had to like give Square Enix notes about this game, like Chadley's name would be there and like repeatedly circled.
Yeah, just
do something about this. I don't necessarily hate Chadley, but there is a lot of Chadleys because he is basically the framework for all of the open world activities.
Yeah,
because it's about gaining region intel, which I was like, okay, fair enough. You know,
yeah,
gaining intel on the area that you're exploring, giving it to Chadley, and he like updates his combat simulator, and you can make new material with him, which is great because he made. Oh man, one mark of heartbreak. Fondly, I remember in FF7 when you master a materia, it, like, generates a copy of it, which is so good.
Yeah.
This one doesn't have that happen, and I learned that because there are three materials you can get from Chadley that are incredible. And you've probably seen one of them, which is fire and ice.
Yes, great.
Which basically is a single material that gives you access to the fire and ice, like, blizzard spells. It's great. But unfortunately, when you master it, it doesn't make a copy. So I'm like, is there any one of this? Oh, I guess I'm sticking it on Cloud because it's going to be in every fight. So,
that's it, yeah, right.
And like, there's two other ones that are similar. And I'm just like, I love these three materia so dearly.
They're very cool. I do like that one at all as well. And the other region activity I like doing is going around and finding, very similar to like the Life Spring Wells as well, but like the finding the summons, like shrines, and getting more intel about the summons, and that actually in turn helps you get the summons a little bit easier because it like knocks the difficulty of the fight down.
Which I do like. I like that you can, if you're feeling tough enough, you can just go and fight the summon, and I'm sure you can probably win.
Did I try and fight Titan first round? Yep. Did I get my ass fucking handed to me? Yep. That's fair. And I was like, fair call, Titan. I'll be back and see you later.
I'll see you after I do these three open world mechanics.
I'm going to go fucking run around outside for a bit.
I'm going to go touch your crystals. Touch my crystals. I'm going to do it.
Get out of my crystals.
And it's going to rewire my pattern recognition and rhythm.
When I first tried
to do one of the summon shrines, I was just like, trying to, like, I'm like, okay. But it's like, push the buttons quick enough, maybe I can do it. It took me a second to be like, oh, as long as I've got rhythm, I'm fine. So it's like, cool. Circle, X, circle. Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Oh.
It's a matter of, like, hear. Like, the way I do it is I hear it, and like, I also, like, try and visualize where it's sitting as well. It's a cool little, like, that mini is an interesting way of doing a mini game. I haven't really seen done like that before. I do, like, I said, I'm in Upper Junon. I do like the rhythm mini game that they gave you. I was just like, you've just put a little bit of theatrism in here just for good measure. And, so I was very happy about that. And obviously I'm in the process of that quest at the moment. So I think I'm going to have to do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, if you're an Upper Junon, like, it should absolutely be taking you straight. Assuming it's a room game I'm thinking of, should take you straight back to Remake where you dance for Andrea.
Hell yes.
It's a similar sort of idea. And it's a really clever way of doing it. Cause I did that section in the original today and I was like, oh man, I don't love this.
It's really, really fun. I'm really enjoying it. I like the fact that there's like region specific chocobos as well. That's kind of fun, and they have functions for that specific area. Yeah, it's I like the chocobo armor.
It's cool.
It's pretty cool.
And when you do get to the Chocobo Racing, like the it actually is worthwhile unlocking the armor pieces because they do have abilities and stuff.
I just got a new one I haven't put
I will spoil one thing about this for you. And like, feel free to tune out if you don't want to know anything about Chocobo Racing, but I've got two words for you. Mario Kart.
Oh, that fills me with
hope
and also sadness.
I thought that might scare you a little bit, Joel.
Yeah, cool. All right, fair enough. Yeah, no, I was like, I think the second one I unlocked for, the second one that I was able to purchase, I was just like, I see what you did there, and that's very cool, and I will be putting that on my Chocobo, thank you very much. but I just got a third one, and I haven't actually looked at properly yet, that I got from another side quest from another character.
Yeah. There's so much of this game.
Another Merc, let's just say that. Yeah. Which...
Merc.
Yeah, I know, it's great. Such a good character. But...
And this is, all of us is out of even, we've had talking about the combat.
Yeah.
Fucking love the combat in Final Fantasy VII Remake. I think it's my favorite. If Square is dead set on being like an action RPG, combat system sort of studio, this is what I want.
Yeah.
I played 16 all the way through. It was great. That combat was fun. Didn't feel deep enough for me. I know there was heaps of combo options, but ultimately I didn't need to use any of them.
Yeah.
Whereas in Rebirth, I feel like I'm rewarded for sort of engaging with the multiple layers. So it keeps, obviously, the stuff we loved about Remake, where you can attack freely with Square to build up your ATB charges, and then you can spend those on your weapon abilities or your spells, which is neat. But also the addition of synergy skills,
which are cool.
Great sort of like freebie things you can do at any point by holding R1. You unlock so many of them as you play through the story. Basically, every character can use two offensive and two defensive ones. Like, without spoiling anything, examples are like Aerith's ones for R1 and the defensive ones. Basically, his bodyguard, which will call on a character to like block for her, which is... on point, she's the healer. She's the white mage, so not really built for taking hits.
No.
And then there are offensive ones, like my favorite one. I can't remember how far down the skill chain it is, but it is just a cool ability. I think it's called Friendly Fire with Barrett and Cloud, where basically it's Cloud's offensive one where he shoots at Cloud's sword and he deflects it at the enemy and it just looks sick.
It does. And you can sort of spam it a few times before it runs out.
Three times,
It's great.
And it's like three unique animations as well. It just looks so cool. And like, so those are free. You can just do those whenever you want.
Yep.
Using him for like the first time each time will increase your relationship with that character, which is another mechanic we haven't really talked about, but you haven't really run into the use for it yet. But you can make the character other party members like you more, which is cool. And then there are the big ones, the synergy abilities.
Which are fucking cool.
They are great. So synergy abilities are built up by accumulating and using ATB charges. Usually, because they use two characters, and usually each character has to have used like three or four.
Yeah.
And those things are just flashy as hell. And they have different functions. Like there are ones that can increase your limit level to like limit level 2.
Mm-hmm.
There's
a really great one that gives you like unlimited MP for a while, which is really good.
Tell you what, in hard mode, those are my friends, because in hard mode, no items for you.
Oh, fuck that.
And benches, in chapters, if you're in the open world segments, the chocobo benches when you use the cushions, which is fucking hilarious mechanic.
So good.
Like finding this beat of this busted up bench and Cloud's like, I ain't sitting on that without putting down a cushion.
Yep. There we are.
That's the good stuff.
And I love that you can make your own cushions as well. Like
the item transmutation is another neat mechanic that, again, it's a shame I'm in hard mode now because now it's kind of pointless. I'm like, I can't use any of these things.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's whatever. So the synergy, there's the infinite MPs. There's ones that like increase the stagger time. And they're incredibly useful. And all of their animations are so good.
Yeah.
I love them. So much. I love the way they've just gone. People love the cast of FF7. So let's just make them team up more.
Yeah,
and
exactly. It's
just great. And the final last thing I'll say about what I love about synergy abilities is in a clutch, like if you're down to one party member, the best feature this game has is the people who aren't in your active party on the outskirts of the battle, and they're still throwing stuff in, like Barrett will shoot in. Sometimes you'll see Aerith tossing in magic if for some reason you benched her. And in a pinch, if you're down to one squad member, you can actually use the backline for a like last ditch effort synergy ability.
Yeah.
Which is just so good.
It's great. I love it so much. It is it's fun because like there's a lot of stuff going on with this
there
game.
Is,
like,
there's so much.
And, but when you have those moments where it does click and you are like flicking between characters and you are just like building up those synergy meters and like using your abilities and stuff like that. There's some really cool shit. And then you've got like on top of that, you've got summons and then you've also got limit breaks as well, which are like, man.
Like I said, there's three levels of limit breaks in this game.
I think I've seen a couple.
The third ones are like at the very end, and you have to actually put in extra work to, because essentially you start at level limit one, and if you do one synergy skill, you can get to two, but obviously you need to do another one of those to get to three. And in regular mode fights, that's not really a thing you got to worry about. Now that I'm in hard mode, I'm finally able to really use those because these fights go on a bit longer and the enemies are definitely a lot meaner to me.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Fair enough.
But the limits are so cool.
Yeah, they're great.
So good.
I like the I can't remember if this was from Remake, but like the weapons having like a specific like skill and you can upgrade it. Yeah, it was. Yeah, but I still love that.
It's like, still great. And I kind of like they simplify, because in Remake, every weapon had like its own little weird level up sphere grid sort of thing. I kind of like it's been simplified where it unlocks slots for you to put skills in.
Yeah.
I think that's just a bit better.
Yeah. And once you've like leveled up and mastered that thing, you have access to that with any weapon, which is great. I really enjoyed like a lot of that stuff that they're doing with it. I've just got to get better at like managing other equipment as well. Honestly,
there is a lot to manage.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot that you need to be doing. And like sometimes I'll go into a fight and just be like, why the fuck am I getting my ass kicked? And I'm like, oh, hang on, let me tool around with this for a bit.
They haven't included the one thing I was hoping they would put in. And I've been asking for it since Remake. I really want to be able to make materia loadouts and just save them for characters.
Yeah.
Especially now I'm in hard mode, but I'm having to like tinker my materia per encounter.
Yeah.
It would be nice to be able to set like a default build I can put on all my characters to like swap back to.
It's interesting.
And maybe in part three.
Well, because they've done that with other elements. Yeah. Like you've got like party loadouts now, which are like, oh, cool. You can have three set party loadouts that you can like just jump into the menu, switch between at will, which was really good.
And then like once you've swapped them in the menu, when you're in the overworld, you can swap with L1 and R1.
Oh, cool.
Oh, did you not know that?
Nah.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's so good. Anytime you're running around before going into a combat, you can just tab between L1 and R1 to swap in your active party.
I'm sure it told me that, and I just...
Again, the game gives you a lot of information, so I don't blame you for like missing some things.
Yeah.
Because the thing I missed initially was like, how the fuck do I swap my party? I couldn't figure it out for the longest time. Because there is a party menu, but it's not in there. It's in the combat menu. I'm like,
don't go to the party menu.
Why would I go to the party menu to customize my party?
Combat settings. You're like, okay, all right, sure. Why not?
I would like to see some improvements to that menu. It's a bit of a mess.
You hit that pause button and it's just like information overload coming right at you.
And it's cool seeing the character standing there, but I'm like, was it really necessary? Can we just have like a simpler menu would have been nice.
Yeah, just give me the information that I require. Yeah. That's all I need here. Yep. I'll go back to the game to look at them doing cool stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I'm finding the difficulty's not too bad. I've had a couple of like TPKs, like here and there, just from like, I don't know, maybe going in a little bit underhanded or maybe not being super prepared for something, or I don't know, some of the extra fights. Like I like the
region
area. The second one of those was fucking cool because I was like, wait, we're fighting what now? Oh shit, this is really cool.
Some of my favorite enemies come up in those fights and it's great.
It's cool. There's a lot of love here. Even like as someone who's like a very like on the outskirts, like looking in as a, oh yeah, hey, I kind of get that. Like I can only imagine what it's been like for you. But like
I was losing my mind for like 95% of my 100-hour run.
Yeah.
It was sensory overload a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I could barely process all of it.
Even stuff like I didn't even realize it was a reference to it, but like at the end of like, so I guess the first big boss fight at the end of the Grasslands area, just before you get to
the
Junon region.
The serpent.
Yeah, like the end of that with like the and I was like, oh, and you sent me the screenshot from the video. I was like, oh, and then you were like, the whole line of like, yeah, did Sephiroth do this?
So good. Like, it's, the way they include stuff, like, it's they do a really good job. And look, I do have thoughts now that I finished it, but I can't save them yet. It's too soon.
Yeah.
But I really am itching to talk about it. Our friend Ben right now is probably finishing it up as we speak.
Yep.
So, like, in probably half an hour, I'm going to be locked in a very long conversation with Ben about it. But I am just so happy with Rebirth. They hit it at the park. I want nothing but success for it. I need that soundtrack immediately in my ears for the rest of the year.
Yep.
Because it is full of just hearing all these versions of all these songs that, again, I love the original FF7 soundtrack, obviously, but it was made in its time as the best they could. And there's, since then, we've had the orchestrations, we've had Distant Worlds, where you've heard some of these songs and you go, man, imagine a game where that was playing with, like, a modern version of this game. And this is what it is here. It is right here now on PS5, on two discs, technically in the same way that FF7 Remake was on two discs, and Forbidden West was on two discs, you know. But it was fun that they led with that promotion for it. But it is here, and it is real, it is good, it is great. The soundtrack blew me away visually. I did play in graphics mode because I totally get people who want 60 frames. Like, there are concessions to make that work.
Look, yeah.
And I personally was just like, no, I need this game to look the best it could possibly look.
I tried switching it over to quality, and I'm like, part of the flashiness for me comes from it being smooth.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, so especially when it comes to combat stuff, I was just like, oh, I like the fact that this is all like, smooth, buttery, you know. But yeah, speaking of butter, it does look like the screen has been smeared a little bit with butter.
I took a lot of screenshots in my playthrough. Like, I'm not kidding. I want to say like 50 or something screenshots. I need to eventually get them all off my PS5 for the sake of its hard drive. Because I've been playing my hard mode run on performance, because I'm like, okay, this one is literally, this is combat. This is for combat playthrough. So I do want 60 frames. I'm like, oh man, maybe I'll get some cool photos. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
And like, well, no, maybe once I do that performance patch down the road.
I'm hanging
again before. Like, it doesn't look bad.
No, it just looks, it looks, something doesn't feel right.
Something
doesn't feel, not even not right, it's something doesn't feel to the level of quality you would
there are concessions to make it run at 60. That's pretty much what it
right.
is.
You're right, like, that's the best way of putting it. Yeah,
and if you can stomach 30 frames, then the graphics mode is really good. Still bad textures in the world sometimes, but like, the characters look so good, the weapons look incredible, the bosses look stunning, and again, you just have to be willing to take 30 frames. And I was happy to make a concession because, again, I mean, I'm playing on a stupidly expensive 4K OLED TV, so I'm like, I want this game to look good, okay?
Yeah.
I'll play performance when I'm in combat mode, and I'm doing that right now.
Yeah.
But game's amazing.
Yeah, it's good. I'm enjoying it.
Stupid that it exists.
Like, yeah, it's wild.
God, Square Enix, you guys are insane. Like, I remember walking out of 16 and being like, man, that was good, but like, and I appreciate they wanted to do it, take it in a certain direction. I really do. But something just was missing that, some of the essence of Final Fantasy for me. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, because I know a lot of other people loved it. But Rebirth has that missing essence in, like, spades.
Yeah.
It's a game that's serious, but not scared to be goofy.
Yeah, and it's...
And to really just lean into, like, some of those Final Fantasy tropes that I love.
Yeah, and, like, for me, as, like, someone who's not as well-versed, I guess, in like, Final Fantasy tropes for the most part, to me it felt very, like, yeah, like a dragon-y. And I mean that in a good way, because, like, that's the stuff that I love about Like a Dragon, where it is like this like gritty, like underworld, like story that they're telling, like crime story they're telling. And then you're going to help out a guy who likes to dress up as a baby. Like,
yeah, like,
it's not to that extreme with Seven, I guess. But like, there's moments of just like, I mean, this is pretty funny. Like, it's not afraid to be silly when it needs to be.
When I say, like, missing that sort of something Final Fantasy-ish about it, like, 16 is a very serious game.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But, like, examples are, like, from the original 7, Red 13, dressing as a Shinra soldier on the ship from Junon to Costa del Sol, and, like, waddling around to a ridiculous soundtrack song. I'm like, that's stupid. Yep. Nothing like that in 16.
Yeah.
Little goofy moments like that that are in the FF, the Final Fantasy games, traditionally in spades. It was just so good to have so many of them just crammed down my throat in Rebirth, like, yep, relentlessly. And yeah, I often unhinged my jaw to fit more in.
Lovely. Fantastic.
But yeah, Rebirth is great.
It's good.
But with that said and done, until we can talk freely about it, that's it for me.
Yeah,
I'm saying nothing else about Rebirth. You will not hear from me again, you know, unless you talk to me on social media about it. Then sure, maybe I could be convinced to gush in your DMs about it. But yeah, we're waiting for a few of our friends to finish it, and it's gonna probably take a while, Joel included.
Yeah,
because like I said, the game's massive and time consuming, and people are adults and have responsibilities, and sometimes just it's gonna be a while. But we will talk about it at some point. I don't know how I'm gonna make it work, because our remake episode was 3 hours, and that was to cover the Midgar portion of the story. This covers the rest of Disc 1, and it's a lot. There's a lot to break down.
That's not even going back and like, not comparing it, but like talking about it in relation to
the original
remake as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm, and where things are happening and what's going on, and yeah.
So yeah. Don't worry. I'm going to find a way to make it happen at some point this year.
Yeah.
Just might take some time.
Yes.
But until then, I loved it. It's no surprise my front runner for GOTY. I know it's only February, but this game made me smile so damn much. It's so hard to see it being topped. But I'm going to take us over to a quick little bonus round.
Bonus round.
So our bonus round is, of course, our whatever the hell we want it to be segment, which I'm mostly putting in here just so there's something besides Rebirth. It's not going to be much.
Yep.
But, you know, we're not just a Rebirth episode.
No.
Actually, a couple of things have happened over the last few weeks, of course, since we went fortnightly, because screw us, I suppose.
Yeah.
Probably too much to really talk about. I pulled up 3 little tabs here. One of them is a new story from today. One of them is also another story from today, which is mostly just a date for something. And of course, the other thing is very Kyron-coded from the Xbox thing they had last week, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll lead with that. Xbox did have a developer showcase or whatever it was. We talked about a few games. It was pretty cool. I didn't watch it, but I checked the skimmed the notes for it.
I ended up watching it. It was pretty decent. Like, nice. There was a good range. It felt like a solid Nintendo Direct, whereas like, there's a little bit of something for everyone in here. I think it was a partner showcase as well. So it felt like a really good Nintendo
preview.
Partner preview, yes.
Thanks, Eurogamer.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that the Nintendo ones are like partner showcase as well, is what they call them on there. I'm pretty sure. So it felt like a good one of that, whereas like there's a little bit of everything for everyone. Some stuff that you're like, oh, that's pretty neat. I wouldn't mind checking that out. And some announcements for some extra things like this.
Like Persona 3 getting an expansion pass. I'm mixed on this, right? Because
yeah,
obviously. So the meat of this discussion is Atlus has confirmed they are releasing the post-game storyline, which is originally called The Fall, I believe, on Persona 3 FES as Episode Igus, coming out this September, which is good. I actually haven't played The Fall because I heard it wasn't great. But I'm hoping that Atlus...
The answer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is The Fall? Oh, yeah. The Fall's a movie. It's one of them. The Fall of something. But yeah, The Answer is the post game. Yeah. But yeah, again, I've never played it. So like, because I heard it wasn't great. And I really, 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 really love the story ending for Persona 3 without giving anything away.
Right.
I think it's incredible. So I didn't really feel the need to ever go back, but between being happy with how it ended and hearing the post-game stuff was like, don't worry about it. But I am open to Atlus revisiting it and improving upon it and maybe trying to tell it in a better way. My main issue is, and is an issue that I had. Nintendo does this too. Nintendo is guilty of this. They did it for Breath of the Wild and a few other games where they announce a DLC. Like, this is coming out in a few months, but we're also doing an expansion pass, so, you know, you can buy now. There's like a pointless little DLC thing in 2 months, another pointless little DLC thing in 4 months, and this is at the end of the year. So, $50, please.
But also, like, okay, you say, like, pointless little thing. There's still content there.
There is. They're adding in some costumes and some old Persona music, which I don't really want. I'm a weird person where they're like, hey, you can buy, like, the Persona 4 music to play in 3. I'm like, no, that belongs in Persona 4.
Exactly. And
don't.
I can see this, the reason for this in a game like, I don't know, like Strikers or...
still can't believe Strikers was only the Persona 5 cast. I'm shocked.
It's wild. Like, you know, but a game like that where it's like a spin-off or an extended universe story, basically... I like doing it there where it's just like, hey, and fuck around with the music and have different, it's like, all right, that's kind of cool. I like that. But when you're talking about like a mainline, like Persona game, it's like, well, no, there's each of those games have a distinct flavor right down to things like the soundtrack and the design of them. So by just mashing it all together willy nilly, it's like, why?
Like, don't let me be a party pooper. If you're excited to like listen to that music while you're playing it, go nuts. But like,
it doesn't seem like many people are. That's the thing.
The backlash. There has been some backlash, air quotes there, because of this, I think. Mm-hmm. And for me, I guess, again, like, this expansion pass exists for the episode, I guess, right?
Yeah.
The other stuff just feels like it's fair to be like, well, you're waiting, and the expansion pass is like, I think, $52. I'm like, all right, geez. I bought it as soon as it came out, like the Elden Ring pass, and it was around the same price. But I trust that From Software is going to deliver a massive expansion for Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Atlas, we'll see. Like, again, I haven't played the extra content originally, but again, it wasn't great. So they're already facing an uphill battle. I did see people saying they were like, well, it should have been included. And I will weirdly play devil's advocate here for Atlas because... I guess at least they're not releasing Persona 3 complete next year.
Yeah, P3R complete, yeah.
And like, be like, okay, buy it again. Like, Persona 5. Oh, what about Persona 5 Royal?
Yeah.
What's new? New semester, new story, pony up the cash again.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that was different because there are slight changes throughout the story of 5, but in my opinion, not a great deal. Not until the later segments.
Yeah.
Whereas this is literally just like, this happens all after the story. There's nothing that changes before. So I guess that's why they're happy to sell it as DLC.
And, I don't know. I think it's included with the Game Pass version.
The Game Pass version does get it for free. So if you're on the Game Pass version, congratulations.
So
Microsoft must have paid Atlas pretty well.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they have.
They're like desperate reaches for Japan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did the right... I mean, it's a pretty good one to pick, so...
It is.
But, yeah, it is. It does seem a little desperate, but, I don't know. I don't even know. I want to play more of that game, but
it's,
I'm just like...
Joel, it's so good.
I'm enjoying it, but then I'm just like, oh, but then I want to play Rebirth and talk about that.
Focus on Rebirth first.
But even then, I'm like falling behind in like the zeitgeist of that too, and I'm just like, oh, man. Balatro's just sitting there, just been like, hey, come play me for 3.5 hours.
I'm keeping the Rebirth zeitgeist alive for as long as I can.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm hooking that straight up to life support if it even looks like it's starting to fade away, because... Yeah. I still have so much to say about that damn game and its story, so... But again, take your time, play what you want to play. I'm not going to make anyone play anything. Like I said, if I hadn't had that week off, I'd be where you were, where I'd be like, fuck, I'm falling behind. There's probably spoilers coming at me imminently. Yeah. Like, it was sweaty business.
It's the thing that sucks, because like, even if I do have a week off, I still...
I know.
I'm not off.
I know.
You know, like, I've still got other things.
I'm obviously lucky in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I have kids.
Yeah, you're lucky in other ways. Jeez, dude.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. They're okay. But like, there's part of me I'm just like, oh, I really would just like to sit down and play games for 7 hours and not have to worry about anything. But it is nice when I do get to do that on
a rare occasion. Every time, even though it's, so I suck at holidays, right? I was doing those days, and we get to like halfway through, I'm like, I've got to do something.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, oh, I'll do the dishwasher. I'll do some time. It's like, no, just, you know, just play a stupid video game, you idiot.
Yep. Yep.
So for what it's worth, often on each of those days, about halfway through, my brain was like, guilt. I'm like,
yep. It's like, you're not being productive.
How dare you?
Oh, fuck you.
I know that you took for profit avenues to have some time off, yeah, but.
Exactly. Who cares about your mental health? Your mental health will be better when the place is clean. Like, fuck off.
I just want to play a video game.
I'm just sitting. Leave me alone.
Let me sit.
Yeah.
But yeah, Persona 3 episode, I guess. I'm curious. I'm going to play it. I'm going to get it. I will buy it, but I'm happy to wait. Now, because looking at the content they're dropping now, I'm just like, I can, if I'm spending $50 on this thing, I'm waiting.
Yeah, no, fair.
I'm not getting it yet.
And that's fine. Like, and that's, Atlus should just trust that fans of the series are going to be okay with waiting instead of having to do, like, a bullshit expansion pass to sort of justify it.
Yeah. Like, and like I said, slight devil's advocate for Atlus. I am glad they're not re-releasing the game in a year.
Yeah.
And making you buy it again. Yeah, so true. It feels like the lowest bar for them to get over, but they've gotten over it.
Yeah, I know. It's like baby steps.
Like, they're doing it with Shin Megami Tensei 5 right now. They're like, hey, we're releasing Shin Megami Tensei 5 with new story. Buy it again.
Yeah.
All right. Fine.
Scumbags. But we love them.
We love them. We do.
But also,
they're slightly abusive towards us, but it is what it is.
It is a slightly toxic relationship, yes.
Next is a recent story from today, but I plucked because it feels very... feels like it could be something that Joel will have in his radar.
Mm-hmm.
It was a freshly announced Dungeons & Dragons video game from the Disney Dreamlight Valley team.
Yeah, this is interesting. I did see this pop up today and I was like, ooh, because I dabbled a little bit with Disney Dreamlight Valley, but it is very much, and I enjoyed it. I haven't really gone back to it, but it is very fresh in my mind constantly because my wife plays it a lot. She really likes it and has been sort of like relatively keeping up with what's going on in it and things like that. I think she's fallen behind a little bit at the moment, but she's she really enjoys it. So I'm sort of like, you know, checking in on that series or that game every now and then.
We don't know much about it. We literally, all we have is a quote from, where is it? I was going to see who said it. Oh, I think it's, from Game Loft Montreal, who are also helping Helmets as well, to release on PC and console.
Mm-hmm.
So Game Loft Montreal executive producer Lee Kaburis has some quotes here. I think this is also attributed to him. It's hard to say, but I'm going to assume it is. It's going to comprise of a mix of co-op adventures, real-time survival, and action, which will test players' skills in an unforgiving campaign. Now, that's not much to go off, but I don't know. Because I'll be honest, when I heard who was making it, I was like, I don't know why or how they would do it, but is it going to be like one of those sort of games?
Well, so here's the thing. Like, Disney Dreamlight Valley...
Not condescending. What I mean is, like, that's a very specific sort of game, and it's not really my cup of tea.
I had the same thoughts before Disney Dreamlight Valley came out. And, like, it does have some of the trappings of those games. But I feel like that was their first step into making, like... for lack of better words, like, legit games. Like, that sounds really condescending and reductive, but
a lot of people. I know a lot of people who play it and enjoy it. So
yeah, but it is. It does feel like Game Loft Montreal sort of like being like, "Hey, we don't just make mobile games. Like, we don't just make free to play mobile games. It's like, this is a free to play game, yes, but we're doing it with like content. And if you are paying money, you are getting something for your money, and it's something that people enjoy playing." Is worth their time. So it's cool to sort of see them take another big IP and sort of have another big swing at it. All I ask, and it's the same thing I ask any time that there's a Dungeons & Dragons game or like something Wizards of the Coast Forgotten Realms related, like as long as you nail like even just a little bit of the feel of what it feels like to be at the table with your friends, then you've got a winner. Like
I do wonder if that's the sort of direction this one's aiming for. Honestly,
yeah,
it's pretty hard to top Baldur's Gate.
I mean, yeah,
Baldur's Gate. I mean, this is obviously a completely different game. It's also not the only D&D game in the pipeline. The article does remind me that there is that one that's allegedly coming from the Starbreeze Payday team.
Oh yeah,
it's meant to be coming along as well. whatever that ends up being, I assume a games as service sort of experience.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Hasbro would love.
Yeah, well, that's... but yeah, I feel like if this is like... If they make this a free-to-play game or like a game that is like, say, for a Founders Pack, $35, $40, like, you know, Australian or something like that, or even $50, like, if you can't afford Baldur's Gate, like, and you want to have that sort of feeling, and if this can get, like, even just a little tiny taste of like that same sort of experience that they're going for, I feel like this would be a really good, worthwhile, like, a budget Baldur's Gate 3 in a way, and maybe a little bit more accessible to people who are a little bit scared by something like Baldur's Gate 3.
I don't know, it does say which will test players' skills in an unforgiving campaign.
Well, okay.
It does mention unforgiving campaign.
But that's the part that I'm most interested in, because, like, Dungeons & Dragons is, like, it's all about, like, making choices and living with the consequences. So, you know, and there is the idea of, like, the rule of cool and things like that. You can, you know, you can sort of, like, schlub some rules if it's...
If your DM's fun.
Yeah, if for the sake of the narrative, like, that's fine like that. But, yeah, like, for the most part, it's like if you make a choice and the dice fall and they don't fall the way you want to, it's like, well, now you have to improvise and now you have to... So if they get that kind of vibe...
It's honestly, it's so tough to do that in a video game.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. It is...
Like, Baldur's Gate does it, but even there's always that alluring temptation of being like... Maybe want to reload your save there?
I mean, yeah, and I always do that as well. But, like, if this is a living game, there's no real, like, save states that you can sort of call upon. So,
again, it's so... I am very curious to see what sort of game this ends up being.
Yeah.
The descriptors they give us could be anything, really.
Yeah.
Obviously, it does sound like it will not be too similar to Dreamlight Valley. Sounds like it'll be different to that.
I feel like it's maybe going towards more of a Valheim direction.
That when I saw real-time survival and action, I did wonder if they'd go, like, survival sandbox sort of games.
Yeah, it's like, what if Valheim but Forgotten Realms? Like, that's... Which, honestly, like, okay, well, that makes sense.
It does seem like a good mix.
Yeah. Having different character classes and things like that you could play plenty off and stuff
of,
like that.
Plenty of D&D monsters to pull from to chuck in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know. If that's what it ends up being, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Still going to have to work pretty hard to pry me away from my precious Valheim, but I'll pay attention.
Yeah, no, but that, I mean, that to me seems to be...
When I saw real-time survival in action, I was like... And co-op adventures as well. I was like, I could see this game working as one of those sort of games.
Yeah. Even like
they are kind of a hotness at the moment.
Yeah,
they've been
like
the hotness
rising
for a while,
and things like that. Yeah,
yeah. Mm. I guess we'll see. Yeah, early days, but I thought it worth bringing up given your you know taste for D&D.
I do love a roll and dice. I did buy something on the weekend when I was away. I didn't actually buy it from the place where I was away at, but I bought. If you've seen the movie Onward, by Disney Pixar,
no,
so.
I'm so far behind on my Pixar movies, Joel.
Yeah, that's been out for a while.
It has, and that's how far behind I am.
I highly recommend it. It's actually
that's the one with Chris Pratt and
Tom Holland. Yeah.
I'm aware of it.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I see the book all the time in my department at work.
It's really good. I feel like it's a little bit underrated for what it is. I think, but it's all based around like this fantasy world where like it's just sort of the norm, and it's like what if a modern day, but it's actually a fantasy setting essentially. But in that universe, Chris Pratt's character Barley has a game called Quests of Yore. It's a tabletop RPG. It's obviously a playoff of Dungeons and Dragons. But they made an actual physical version of that that is like a tabletop RPG.
Interesting.
And it's Barley's edition, so it's all annotated with Barley's like quotes and stuff like that. I found it and got a really good deal, and I got it for like $30. And it's a huge box. It has mini figurines in it. It's got a whole bunch of dice. It's got character sheets. It's got these two giant like quest tomes and stuff like that as well that you can read through. It's really cool. So yeah, I do love me some dice rolling action.
You do, Joel. You do. Mm. You're only human.
Yeah.
And last up, we've got another little announcement from Jeff Keighley, a man who finally attempted. I guess, to say something, I guess, about the immense number of layoffs recently in the form of signal boosting someone else, which it's a start, I guess. Hopefully more, we can expect more from him in the future.
And I would hope so, because after what the Game Awards was last year and how it just sort of glossed over it completely, and then seeing the flip side of that where the Oscars did not hold back talking about the writers and actors strike at all, and was mentioned quite a lot throughout the night in different aspects. I feel like he loves to take his cues from things like the Oscars, so
I guess he's also still a bit scared about the advertisers, but we'll see. Yeah. Either way, I guess like it's like a shuffling step forward for Mr. Keighley.
Yes.
But either way, he did announce this week that the Summer Games Fest will return on Friday, the 7th of June at 2 p.m. Pacific. I, frankly, CBF'd on the time conversion there, but I guess if that's one of our off weeks, we'll probably do an episode that week.
Yeah. You'll hear us talk about it, because I'm sure, unless it's really bad. In fact, even if it's really bad, we'll definitely talk about it. We'll definitely be covering
bare
that.
Bare minimum, there's going to be Shadows of the Erdtree there, so I will be paying attention.
Yeah, true.
Because this is like 2 weeks before that comes out.
Yeah, and Keighley does love some From Software.
He's actually got some surprising connections that have blossomed over the last few years. Between having the front run on Elden Ring, and then Rebirth as well, I was like, what the fuck? Who are you talking to, Keighley?
I don't want to balloon this episode out or anything like that, but like, apart from those things, like from Shadow of the Erdtree, like, is there anything else do you think we could see?
The rest of this year is such a question mark. What we do know is E3 is dead.
Yeah.
It is gone.
Yeah.
So, I think Microsoft said they did have something planned for June.
Yes.
It'll no doubt happen around this.
Their June showcase. I think Phil Spencer mentioned something. Yeah. Like, you'll see more of that at our June showcase. Like, yeah. So
if anyone did have anything ready, was working on the assumption for some reason that E3 was going to happen, it might be here or around here.
So please be excited for Sony to announce something
the week before,
and a half weeks before, be like, well, we're not part of that. And then for Nintendo to do something like the day after.
The biggest question mark for me, because
is that the time frame? I'm not saying at the Summer Games Fest, but is that the time when we get?
I don't know.
Of something.
Not to see the Switch 2. If the rumors are true and it's coming out next year now, I don't think June is, but what if?
Yeah, I know, Kari. I know.
What if Metroid Prime 4?
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there. What's that? I'm a broken record. Whatever, man. That's what I am.
Well, look, I mean, if you look at it this way, I'm not saying it's going to happen. Nintendo are very cagey about this stuff, but I mean, if Keighley was able to get that,
That would pretty much be the trifecta of being like, well, I guess I love Keighley now. Right?
Yeah,
if he gives me Elden Ring and he got me a lot of Rebirth, like if he gets me Metroid Prime 4, like,
I think there's more chance of him securing something with Rockstar.
I mean, like, honestly, Nintendo doesn't play ball with a lot of people. They play ball with themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Take that as you will.
Yeah, take that exactly as you want.
Yes, 100%.
As literal as well.
I could see something maybe there, like, it's saying this year game article here about, like, maybe GTA 6. I know that Rockstar like to play by their own rules as well, but they also like, I don't know, I feel like it seems like a good partnership between Rockstar and Jeff Keighley. Not that that game needs any signal boosting or anything.
No, that's the thing, I don't think it does. It's way too, the rest of this year has got too many question marks, I guess.
The only way I could maybe see it, the way I could see it happening is if, like, we got, like, a proper story trailer, like, 2 or 3 weeks out, and then at the end of it, it's like, gameplay reveal at Game Awards.
I don't know if Rockstar, I think Rockstar knows. They know that they don't need to strike any deals with Keighley. They just need to drop a trailer on YouTube at time. It doesn't matter. It'll be the most watched YouTube video. Doesn't matter. No questions asked.
If you get leaked and they could just be like, fine, whatever, fuck it. Here it is. Like,
and we'll still be the most watched one.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. There are things that I want to see. Like, there's one project that's been long in development, I guess. I think it's been a few years. We've seen nothing of it besides the announcement. And that is the only, if there was a new game this year that I hadn't seen yet that I want to see, it is that fucking IO James Bond game.
Oh, actually.
That's the only...
Yeah.
When I rack my brain for games that haven't been revealed yet, but I want to see, that's pretty much at the top of the list.
Oh, yeah. It's at the top of mine now, too. You just put that back assuming, into my mind. Like, I'm like, yeah.
Assuming that Nintendo won't play ball with Jeff Keighley because they'll do a direct probably in... Depending on what... If Prime 4 is this year. If that is this year, that will depend on their direct, right? Grub was talking some shit, I think, a while ago that he'd heard that there might be some Metroid marketing plan for May, but we'll see. We'll see how all of that shakes out.
Which, I mean, end of May, just before Keighley's event kicks off. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
You know what he probably will have? Because, again, another thing... Again, I feel like so much of the industry comes back to Grub at this point, to Jeff Grub.
Yeah.
He just seems to... know the right people.
Yep.
He was talking recently about how there's talk that Dragon Age Dreadwolf might be potentially aiming up later this year. And if that is, that will be here for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think EA is having their own thing this year.
Yeah, so we might get a bit of EA heaviness here.
We'll see. Either way, it's too early to tell. This year is nothing but question marks. It's only March.
I'll take another trailer for Star Wars Outlaws, please. Thank you. And maybe a date.
Ubisoft will probably have something in June.
Maybe.
It's Ubisoft.
Yeah, but maybe.
It's Ubisoft.
Yeah, what they'll do is they'll be like that Keighley's thing, and it's like, we'll get the trailer, and then be like, they'll reveal it out tomorrow.
They've got Skull and Bones content to promote. There'll probably be some Prince of Persia DLC.
Well, there is. There's a whole bunch of... put out a content roadmap.
There you go.
There is like later this year there's story DLC coming, and I'm like, yes, please, thank you, everybody, go buy that game. It's real good.
It's on sale right now. I'll be honest, I did hover over it. It's like down to $47, I think, on the PSN. I was like, it's real tempting, but Dragon's Dogma is days away. We'll see.
It's so worth it.
I know. I want to play it.
It's great.
I know. I want to play it. The demo was amazing.
Yeah.
And when was our last Assassin's Creed game? We're probably due for one of those soon.
Yeah, what is it going to be?
Was Valhalla the last one?
Yeah, like mainline one. And then there was Mirage last year.
Oh, yeah, Mirage was last year.
So either, I guess, maybe Jade.
Well, I guess because they've got two coming up.
Yeah, or maybe they start talking about Assassin's Creed.
I'm already sick of this conversation.
Assassin's Creed. Fucking what is it
next or whatever, like, yeah, the hub one.
I keep wanting to say Unity, but I'm like, no, that's an actual game.
I bet they're furious they wasted Unity. They're like, oh damn it.
100%.
We should have saved that for our games as a service one.
Now they're cool. It's like,
I have to hope that they're maybe reconsidering, where I think I was reading that Skull and Bones is underperforming, like it's performing worse than Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And Suicide Squad's not doing good.
It's not.
It's bleak out there.
It's pretty, yeah, if you're a live service game out there. Meanwhile, Helldivers 2 is over there just having the fucking time of its
Helldivers
life.
Helldivers 2 is having a time of its life, and, like, despite many complaints maybe leveling about it, Destiny 2, chugging along.
It's still there.
At a click.
Still
on,
there.
On the road to its final story expansion, for now. Exclamation mark. Asterisk. Probably not ever, because Punchy's got to make money somehow. Marathon's not out yet, so... We'll see. But either way... Suicide Squad and Skull and Bones, definitely the punching bags of this year.
It really has been, hasn't it? They're the golems of 2024.
Oh, the golems. The Marvel's Avengers.
But the difference is, like, one of these games was made by fucking Rocksteady. Like...
That's insane.
And not even wild.
Not even, like, a Rocksteady offshoot. By Rocksteady.
Yeah, like, it this is what they've been working on since... Arkham Knight or whatever.
As far as we know, but not sure if it was like other prototypes. Maybe
well,
didn't.
There's a
but either way, as far as the world is concerned,
yep.
They released Arkham Knight and then this came out.
Yep.
And they delayed this because of negative feedback, and it still is rough.
Yeah, it's not good.
Even putting aside the Destiny comparisons, right? Because, I mean... I'm sick of the Destiny killer stuff. It's like, just like I was sick of the WoW killer stuff. It's dumb, don't say it, it's stupid. But even failing to recognize what it missed from Destiny, it couldn't... I mean, Marvel's Avengers wasn't a great game, but it had a good story campaign.
Yeah.
And this doesn't.
It doesn't. It has some...
Even if the cutscenes are good, like, the moment-to-moment getting through them apparently sucks.
And even... Yeah.
And it just...
And it's like, gets to the end and it's like... How you get to do that again 23 times? Like,
at least, again, fair number of complaints to aim at Marvel's Avengers. But that campaign finished, and I was like, that was good.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied. I know it's opened up to this weird Destiny side of a game that I don't want or need or care for, but at least this story was satisfying, and I really liked Kamala, and it was good.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed that.
It's a shame we have a longer lifespan of that game and the decisions made in making it, but at least we got a good story out of it.
Yeah, and we got
a fun campaign.
Another way that Kamala Khan got introduced to the world a bit more. So, yeah, good stuff.
But that's it, Joel. That's going to do us for this episode. So I'd like for you to take us out.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of the Dialogue Options Podcast. We greatly appreciate you being here. If you like what you've heard, please go to your podcast platform of choice, leave a review, a rating, a message on our social medias, any of that kind of stuff. Please. We love it. It makes us feel good. It'll make you feel good. Everyone feels good. Everyone's happy. Speaking of social media, if you would like to follow us over there, we're primarily based on Twitter. You can find us at Dialogue Options over there. We are both also on our own individual accounts, if you would like
to. Regrettably, we are.
Yeah. If you would like to follow me, I am at Jolly Mac, where we were just talking. I actually retweeted the Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown post-launch roadmap. So March 20th, the first update's coming. It's going to have a speedrun mode, permadeath mode, and some new outfits for Sargon. Autumn 2024 for us, I guess.
It's autumn now.
Yeah, so it says spring, so I'm assuming maybe towards the end of spring.
Which account tweeted it? Is it just like a...
It's the Prince of Persia the Lost, okay. The Prince of Persia account.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, there's a boss attack mode coming with boss rush and some more outfits. Then there's the Divine Trials, which is new combat platform and puzzle challenges. It's a new amulets and things like that. And then later in 2024, they're doing new story DLC. So they're actually doing like a fully-fledged story DLC. So I retweeted that as well. Also, there's some pictures of me at the footy with my family, which is pretty fun. But also, hot tip recommendation for a movie if you're looking for something fun to watch, like a family movie that's really good. The criminally underrated The Mitchells vs. the Machines by Sony Pictures Animation on Netflix. It's awesome. It has an absolute killer soundtrack. The visual art style is fantastic, and the reason why it works narratively as well is awesome. The cast is phenomenal, and it is so worth your time. And it the end of that movie hits so hard. If you want to see Olivia Colman as an evil rogue AI that's trying to take over the world, The Mitchells vs. the Machines is for you.
If you're in that very specific group.
Yeah. But no, seriously, it's a great movie. And if you like Spider-Verse and that kind of style, this was what they made post Into the Spider-Verse, like Sony Pictures Animation. And you can tell this was the point where they were like, oh, we can do weird stuff and interesting stuff in animation. That's kind of animation shtick. We don't have to make things look photorealistic. We can do fun.
And thank God for that.
Overlays and stuff like that.
Let's have fun animation.
Yeah, and if you want fun animation, oh my God, this movie is for you. But where can they find you, Kyron?
You can find me on Twitter, where I am, at LemonManX, where I can actually maybe... Again, I hate that platform, but I'll probably be there a bit more now that I finished Rebirth. I recently tweeted that I had finished Rebirth with a bunch of screenshots that I had taken. No spoilers. It's no spoilers and no screens. It's just the party that I fucking love to death, and Sephiroth is there too. Who I guess I also, as a villain, love him, but like, I hate him too.
And also, technically, because of Rebirth, he's at one point technically fighting him.
Man, that fucking flashback is so good.
You can argue that.
But apart from that, also just a lot of retweets mourning the death of Akira Toriyama.
Yeah. I hadn't even... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hadn't even talked about that.
I'm wearing my Dragon Ball shirt.
Yeah, man.
It sucked, honestly. Like, Dragon Ball, obviously, he contributed to a lot of stuff. Dragon Ball, Dragon Quest, Sandland, Chrono Trigger, all these different things. But, you know, Dragon Ball was like a morning ritual. So, huge influence as I grew up. And obviously, a lot of other creators I follow, like Ross from X Game Grumps, posted a picture of his shelves of, like, Dragon Ball figures and statues and stuff.
And even, like, the wider like influence as well that it's had on just like mainstream pop culture.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah,
across the world over.
It's wild. It's like it's up there with things like you look at back in like past scenes of like Bullet Time because of the Matrix and it, like that powering up and like you know like charging key was like 100%. We have that in all types of anime and pop culture.
Well, like, several of like the big manga writers have come out just like obviously voicing the just talking about the loss of him and how he was obviously inspirational to all of them. But yeah, personally though, yeah, Dragon Ball, huge deal. Grew up with it. Even watched Dragon Ball Super, didn't love it a great deal, but fucking tuned in anyway. I'll be watching Dragon Ball Daima, whatever it is, when it comes out later this year. Yeah, it was a sad loss, sad. So
yeah,
I watched several Dragon Ball clips in honor, which was mostly just yelling, honestly.
Yeah.
But
that's cool.
What a superstar.
Yeah. 100%.
That's really all for me, Vojol.
Wonderful. Wow. Thank you once again for listening. And until next time, enjoy your games.
Dialogue Options Podcast.